2 Samuel, chapter 20, beginning in the second half of verse 10. And reading through verse 13, not verse 22, but through verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 20, beginning in verse 10. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's young men took his stand by Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab, and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." And Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the highway. And anyone who came by seeing him stopped. And when the man saw that all the people stopped, he carried Amasa out of the highway into the field and threw a garment over him. When he was taken out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. To my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and He will give you into our hand." David spoke these words. David spoke these words long before the host of the Philistines and the presence of the assembly of Israel, having been anointed by Samuel, having become the Lord's anointed, though he himself had not yet been exalted and seated upon the throne. It is through David in Samuel that the promise of God to his people has been revealed to continue. That promise of God to his people, it is revealed to us in Samuel that it is to continue through David and through his offspring. That promise to crush the head of the serpent, that promise to bring deliverance to the people of God. And if you remember these words which David spoke to Goliath the Philistine, Goliath there, he was described in 1 Samuel chapter 17 as a dragon. The crushing of his head, it foreshadowed the fulfillment of what God would do for his people through his anointed, through the Christ. David gives expression to this deliverance, to this redemption, and he adds something very important in that revelation, in that expression, that the Lord does not save with the sword, that the Lord does not save with the spear, that the Lord does not save with the weapons of this world. In this, David is revealing nothing new. It too was indicated in the promise. The one who would crush the head of the serpent, he himself would suffer the bruising of his heel. Deliverance for the people of God. It would not come through a Christ that was like the kings of the nations of this world, clothed, armed with the weapons of this world. It would come through a lowly, humble, suffering servant. That is your King. That is your King. A King who rejected the offer of all the kingdoms of this world with their glory and the hope of a better kingdom that is a heavenly one. This is the way of the Lord. It is the way of the Lord revealed to us through all the Scriptures, beginning in the opening chapters of the Scriptures. This is the way of the Lord. This is the wisdom of the Lord. A way that David understood. A wisdom that David possessed. But certainly one which he would at times struggle to lay hold of. That he would struggle to remember. That he would struggle to trust. This struggle, it is very clear to us in chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. When we arrive there, we will see that David determines to number Israel and Judah. He determines to take a census of the people, specifically to number the size of the army, to number the size of the host of Israel, an expression of trust, an expression of faith, not in the Lord, but in military strength and military might and the strength and power of this world. They are forgetting what he himself had spoken, that the Lord does not deliver through sword or spear. While this struggle is not as obvious in our passage, not as obvious in our passage as it is in chapter 24, this same issue is at work here. This same struggle is at work here. Sheba, a worthless man, a man of worthlessness, a man of, in Hebrew, Belial, a man of Belial, revealed to us as the offspring of the serpent. He is leading the people astray to oppose the Lord and His anointed. Deliverance from this rebellion, deliverance from this rebellion will come through the crushing of Sheba's head. David appoints Amasa. David appoints Amasa to fulfill this task, to fulfill the task of crushing the head of Sheba. And so in our passage, Amasa is the head crusher, the one appointed by the king to crush the head of the serpent and his offspring. But as we saw last Lord's Day, Amasa, sent to gather the people, Amasa delayed. He delayed beyond the appointed time. But rather than understand this as faithlessness on the part of Amasa, we noted the parallel between this delay and one which happened before in Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 13. When Samuel delays, beyond the appointed time. And Saul, in fear of the Philistines, he seeks to accomplish for himself what he was to do in dependence and reliance upon the Word of God. He was to wait to hear the Word of God. When Amasa delays, like Saul, he He fears his ruin. He fears his ruin, his destruction. And so he sends in Amasa's place mighty men to accomplish what Amasa seems to have failed to do. In our passage, this replacement, it is now to be accomplished by Joab and his brother Abishai. Joab then, in our passage, he stands in contrast to Amasa. He represents that effort to crush the head of the serpent, to bring in the kingdom of God through the weapons of this world, independent of the Lord, without reliance upon the Lord, but through reliance upon the strength and power of this world. This conflict, it unfolds in that encounter between Joab and Amasa. That encounter at the great stone in Gibeon. And there Joab betrays Amasa. He betrays him with a kiss and strikes him with the sword, spills his entrails to the ground. Joab puts Amasa to death with the weapons of this world. Joab puts Amasa to death with the power of this world. This is the very thing. This is the very thing which Judas would do to the Christ, delivering him into the hands of men, delivering him into the hands of those bearing the weapons of this world, wielding the power of this world, as he himself was disillusioned. Disillusioned with a Christ who would come to suffer. Disillusioned with a Christ who would come in weakness. Disillusioned with a Christ who would come in the hope of a kingdom that cannot be seen. A Christ who would come to suffer willingly. Willingly giving himself up. But this we know was according to the wisdom of God. Amasa, likewise, we saw that though Joab comes in secret, though he comes in secret with treachery in his heart, his purpose is made known. It is revealed to Amasa as his sword falls forward from its sheath. But Amasa, he pays no attention to the sword. He pays no attention to the sword. He rejects that sword and he gives himself into the hands of Joab. What weakness is this? What foolishness is this? It is the power. It is the wisdom of God. Upon the death of Amasa, Joab and Abishai, they continue to pursue Sheba. And one of Joab's young men, he takes his stand by Amasa. He takes his stand there and says, "Whoever favors Joab, whoever is for David, or whoever belongs to David, let him follow after Joab." The young man calls for the people to follow after Joab, to follow the way of Joab. And the young man assures the people that this is the way of Christ, that this is the way for those who belong to David, who belong to the Lord's anointed. It is a call to identify with Christ through Joab. People are to give expression to this identity by following after Joab. And who could argue with such a call? How pious it sounds. After all, is not Joab's purpose, is not Joab's goal to crush the head of the serpent? Is not his goal, according to the promise of God, is not his goal the fulfillment of our hope? Now, before the response of the people is given to this call, in verse 12, our attention is drawn back to Amasa, who we are told lay wallowing in his blood in the highway. Now, we mentioned briefly last Lord's Day that this verb translated wallowing here, or rolling, it is the same verb used in Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. Used there concerning the circumcision of the people upon their entering into the land of promise. The circumcision of the people on the eve of the conquest of that land. On the eve of their taking possession of that land, itself a type of the kingdom of God. But before the people may inherit that kingdom, before they may take possession of that kingdom, they are to be circumcised. They must be circumcised. For the reproach of Egypt, the reproach of this world, must first be rolled away from them, that they might enjoy the presence of God in their midst. And if that reproach is not cut off from them, if it is not rolled away, then they themselves must be cut off. They themselves must be rolled away. They themselves must suffer the curse that is signified in circumcision. As in Joshua, so also here in 2 Samuel. The people are seeking to take full possession of the land. They are seeking to wipe out the rebellion of the serpent from their midst. But before they can achieve this victory, before they can achieve this victory, as in Joshua, they must be circumcised. But here, that circumcision, it is the circumcision of one man. That man appointed to crush the head of Sheba. A man despised. A man betrayed. The rolling of Amasa in his blood. It is the circumcision of Amasa. It is the circumcision of his whole body, of his whole flesh, bearing the curse of death signified in circumcision. The circumcision of Amasa It is a revelation of that circumcision of Christ. That circumcision made without hands. That circumcision which was the baptism of His death. That circumcision that was necessary for the crushing of the head of the serpent. That was necessary for our receiving the inheritance of the kingdom of God. It is a deliverance. It is a victory that is achieved apart from the power and the weapons of this world. Now we come to the response of the people. Now we come to the response of the people, the response to the call to follow after the Christ by following after Joab. But what do we read? They do not follow. They do not follow anyone who came by upon seeing Amasa wallowing in his blood. Anyone who came by upon seeing the circumcision of Amasa. Anyone who came by stopped. Anyone who came by stood still before him in the highway. This is the way of the Lord. This is the way of the Lord. It is a way that passes through the cross. It is a way that passes through the circumcision of Christ. This is the way that ends in glory. A way that passes through the cross. A way that passes through the circumcision, through the baptism, through the death of Christ. And so what does the man do? What does he do? He removes the stumbling block from the way. He removes the offense of the cross from the way. He carries it from the way into a field and he covers it with a garment. He conceals the way of the Lord and suggests to the people and assures the people a victory without the sufferings of the cross. And once this was done, then the people, they follow after Joab on his way. The world does not know what to do with the cross of Christ. this world cannot reckon with the cross of Christ. It is a reversal of the way of this world. It turns this world upside down. As long as the church is in this world, she will be tempted. She will be tempted to do away with the offense of the cross. She will be tempted to abandon the way of the cross and all that it calls us to. She will be tempted to seek with this world the kingdom of God by another way to gain the approval of this world. But know for certain that the cross of Christ, it will not so easily be removed from the way as Amasa was. It cannot be removed. For the Lord has laid a stone in Zion, the stone that the builders rejected. It has become the cornerstone. It is a stone of stumbling. It is a rock of offense. And the one who would remove this stone will be crushed by it. But the one who believes in him, he will not be put to shame. The word of the cross, it is weakness, it is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom and power of God. To him be kingdom, power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray.